And welcome to this fourth and last episode about our plane conference in 2023. Before I introduce my guests here in the studio, we have a special guest from Sweden that I'm going to call. And live from, where are you, Margrethe, actually?
Yeah, I'm in Norway, but I'm not in Oslo where I normally live. I'm just north of Oslo because I'm on my way to our holiday home in the mountains.
Wow.
Regretting not being in Buenos Aires, of course, but there
you
have
it. But a holiday home in our mountains sounds very good at this moment for us too, I think. So live from Norway, this is the one and only Margrethe Kvavarens. They tell me again how to pronounce your surname.
That's all right, Margrethe Kvarenes. It's
Kvarenes.
Not as easy as Ludo.
I have to change my name to get it easy for everyone. So, okay. I've got a name in plain language. That's the good thing.
I noticed, yes.
Margrethe,
thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to the podcast. We have you in this podcast because this whole conference here in Southern America started with you being head of the board of Plane. Can you tell me how that all started?
Yeah, you know, when the Observatorio de Lenguaje Claro sent their application to be local hosts of a plane conference, it was like Christmas on the plane board. You know, when you get exactly and precisely what you've been wanting for a long, long time. So it was yay, hooray, and a real thrill and acknowledgement of a long time of work, I must say, because this was a result of a long-term strategy. I need to go back a while. When I joined this field some 15 years ago, plain language was already well established in Canada, in the US, in Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, but not so much elsewhere, apart from Sweden, maybe. So plain made it its major goal to make plain language more international, to spread the knowledge to more parts of the world. And I heard that Joanna Richardson, she said yesterday that Portuguese-speaking members now are the second largest member group, which is pretty amazing.
That is amazing. And it was one of the goals. So, yeah.
Mm. So it was a strategy. And to be more concrete, in 2018, I was probably the first plane president from a country outside the English-speaking world. And over the past years, plane has recruited board members and members from many, many different countries and become even more diverse. So while I was president, we established a new committee, the Regional Development Committee, and we started to recruit plane ambassadors in different countries and to build an even broader network. And I must say, we tried for quite a while to have a conference in Latin America because there are quite a lot of national plain language networks in the area. But then the pandemic happened, you know, and we had to go digital and all that. So after the pandemic, we got two applications to host the 2023 conference from Spanish speaking organizations. And that was like, you know, yay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so the last three plane conferences had been hosted in Europe. So you can imagine this was really a golden opportunity. So we settled for Argentina and the Observatorio because it was, you know, such a golden opportunity to bring the world's knowledge of plain language to Latin America. And I'm really so happy and proud. And I hear that the conference went wonderfully. And I congratulate you all for fantastic moments. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, but at the end of the conference, you were named and you were thanked by the officials here at the university. So because you had a very important role in getting this all together. Sure, you not feel very happy about not being here.
No, I would be an angel not to be a little bit sorry about that. But, you know, as a board member, plain board member, you are there for a bigger reason.
Yes.
And the fact that this happened is just so amazing. So I, in my turn, I have to thank Natalia Toro and Joanna Richardson, because without their local knowledge network, I don't think we would be sitting here today. So congratulations.
And thank you also for doing that. And now you were here. You were here. You were in the podcast.
Yes, I was. I was there. And I have been listening to the podcast, and they convey a beautiful ambiance. So thank you so much for doing that, Lodewijk.
Thank you. I wish you a pleasant stay in your holiday home in Norway. Now we are all jealous about that. I think we all need a rest here. So thank you so much. And I'll go on talking with the guest here in the studio. Thank you so much, Margrethe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now back to the studio. Here at the table, I have four amazing guests. Please introduce yourself.
Well, good day. My name is Shani Slabbert. I'm from South Africa, representing the Plain Language Institute. An information designer by trade, so a little bit different experiences to what some of the other amazing writers and content developers are that we have here. And it's such a pleasure to be here today.
Welcome.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nadia. I'm Shani's colleague, Nadia Green. And I'm also from South Africa, and I specialize in strategic communication.
Hello, my name is Rafaela. I'm an interpreter. I've been living in Argentina for 25 years, although I'm actually English. And I've been had the wonderful job of interpreting the extraordinary presentations that people have been making over the last 2.5 days.
And we had the wonderful job of listening to your voice like 50% of our time here at that conference.
Well, you're too kind.
And next to you is Nicole.
Hello, I'm Nicole. I'm from Canada, and I have a small plain language consultancy there where I do editing, writing, and training in plain language, and it's a thrill to be here. I'm also on the plain language board.
And for the people who don't know you, your full name is?
Nicole Watkins Campbell.
Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. We had our last day today. What was your best experience of this last day? Let's start with you, Nicole.
The best experience of the last day was listening to Karen Hansen talk about 50 years of plain language in Sweden. The lessons that I think she gave us for having a successful plain language program in the public service were invaluable. And there are things I'm going to go, but as soon as she's finished speaking, I knew what I wanted to do when I got back to Canada.
And that was?
Work on tax change.
Yeah.
The Canadian federal government has a tax agency. They're not communicating clearly, and we can do something about
it. And what was the lesson that Karen learned you today?
How important it is to keep reminding the public service that they have a duty to communicate clearly with the public.
Yeah. And Rafaela, for you, you had all these presentations. Is there something, are you just working while doing interpreting, or do you also get some insights to yourself?
You do get flashes. The thing is, when you're interpreting, what your brain is doing is listening to the words. Then there's a little internal process whereby you have to turn it into a sentence that has meaning and proper structure and flows mm-hmm. in the other language. So you're very focused on the process rather than using your long-term memory to remember the content. And I always think at the time, God, that was really interesting, I must write that down. And then I think get to the end of the presentation, I think, well, she said something really good that I just can't quite remember it. And it does fade because you're using another part of your brain.
Okay.
So at the time you're thinking, wow, gosh, this is so interesting as you're doing the job, but then afterwards you can't quite remember it. Yep. Occasionally I have time to write something down or maybe a website or an acronym which I can look up afterwards. To keep it brief, I don't have any specific recollection of something that was amazing, but there were certainly many, many points during the presentations and I thought, gosh, this is so cutting edge and it's so revealing. My husband is a lawyer.
Ah.
So I've been talking to him about this and he was like sort of, oh, well, we have a certain kind of language that we use. And I said, you see, it's all about power, isn't it?
That's also something that we learned today. Eloisa was talking about how the
structures work. Yes, the power dynamics are very interesting.
Yeah.
Two
of the presentations that you did the interpreting for are the presentations from our South African guest. Please tell about your presentations and let's start with you, Nadia.
Thank you, Lodewijk. So at Plain 2019, I presented a strategic framework for implementing plain language in organizations. But this framework is based on my master's study, so it's very theoretical and conceptual in nature. And then the past 4 years, I had the opportunity to put the framework to the test. So I presented some lessons that I learned, and I put forward an alternative framework for achieving plain language in organizations.
And what was one of the core things that changed your structure in the past four years?
Well, the first thing is that you think to achieve plain language in organization, you need leadership commitment. But in a large organization, it's very difficult to get that from the start. So instead of doing that, you should follow a change agent approach where you gradually introduce plain language to the organization. So it's not this big change that is happening at once, but rather you like spoon feed it bit by bit and bit, and that will help people to digest it better and to accept it into their organization.
I think it's very clever, very good that you gave this message today, because we got so many things processed and learned in the last 3 days, and I know everybody wants to do it immediately and as soon as possible and as quick as possible, but you need that slowly approach to achieve the best. Yeah. Nicole, you agree with that? You remember?
Absolutely. I worked for a small provincial government in Canada for several years, and we started a plain language policy, and it was very difficult to get the government as a whole to sign on to that policy. But we started with one agency, a central communications agency. They still do plain language to this day, and that was, we began in 1990.
Let's see. And then your presentation, tell me all about it.
Yes, so I presented a case study today about one of the companies that we work with, and they are in the financial services industry. So as I mentioned in my presentation as well, it's a complex industry, it's a complex business, because they have a lot of different companies who all operate as separate legal entities. So it's almost like working with five or six companies at the same time. And our experiences with plain language in the organization, we've been working with them for the past 2 years, and because our company, Nadia and Sarah, have been working on the ISO plain language standard, we've had some unique insights that we could bring into how we engage with the organization and how we introduce them to the new scope of plain language, where it doesn't just entail simplifying words and documents, but looking at it more strategically and thinking about how you can improve the business processes, the type of services that you put out to customers along the way as well.
Can you share one of those insights with our listeners?
Yes, so for example, one of the principles of the ISO plain language standard is to think about relevance. And when one of the projects that we are doing now is with a health insurance business of theirs, where we are helping them to expand their service offering into new countries. So they work with four main target audiences and across five African countries. And we're doing qualitative interviews with financial advisors who have to sell these services. But the target audiences that they deal with is very different to what this company is used to in South Africa. So we're giving them guidance on some of the priority areas for localization and also for communication material to give them a plan of things to steer away from and perhaps some ways of phrasing their services that the audience will understand.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this. I have a question for you, Rafaela. What do you think of the plain language of our speakers during the conference? Because is it true that if they talk in plain language, it's easier for you to do your work?
You know, I was just thinking along those lines, and I thought I want to say something about that, because of course our job as interpreters, we're not just translating, we're interpreting.
Yes.
Is to get the message across as clearly as possible.
Yeah.
And so obviously we appreciate immensely when our speakers speak in plain language. The problem is that often they're making references to things that are horribly technical, which require plainification or clarification. So it's difficult to do that bit, because often it's a really specific reference to a text that in Spanish, has a specific particular problem, but it doesn't translate properly into English. So you have to find euphemisms or ways of getting around it to communicate that there is indeed a problem with the language in that language, but it's difficult to transmit in another language because it's very word specific often.
Yeah.
So yes, there were those challenges, but overall I'd say that the speakers were pretty plain, and certainly the keynote speakers had more time so they could slow down the pace.
Yeah.
I think the problem with the panels that we found is that there were lots of speakers with a lot of incredibly interesting things to say.
In 8 minutes,
of course. And so they rushed a bit, and speed is always an issue. Because
I think this is a very good lesson learned for a next conference. We have to think about this.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I would certainly say that the interpreters, whoever you use, will be jolly grateful if you slow things down.
just for you.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you about the insight you had at this conference in the last 3 days. And I start with you, Nicole.
Yes. Brazil started their plain language program 5 years ago, and they fit in what looks to me like 50 years worth of work. If you have enthusiasm, if you can get buy-in, if you can build advocacy, you can do a great deal of work. And Margaret Mead said, she was an American anthropologist, she said, never underestimate what a small group of committed people can accomplish. And I think Brazil's story is just a reminder of that.
Thank you very much. Your biggest insight.
Yes, I think that we have many tools available to help us do our jobs better. And generative AI is one of those tools. And we've seen amazing examples of how government institutions and private companies use generative AI to analyze documents, analyze text, make suggestions. Some tools even go a step further to revise and make it better. But it doesn't end there. There's always space for qualitative research, to be able to understand how people will perceive it, to test it, make sure it's really relevant for a specific audience, and to also understand the user experience, because how someone experiences a piece of communication, whether it's written or verbal, printed or digital, really impacts how well they will be able to understand and then use that piece of communication.
Thank you so much. Your insight, Nadia.
So my key insight is that to achieve plain language, you need a multidisciplinary team. You need somebody that is skilled in all four principles of the ISO plain language standard, or you need multiple people. So for example, for relevance, you need somebody that is doing great user testing, getting that insights from the users. You also need information designers, graphic designers that can help you to structure the document. And of course, you need incredible writers. You also need to include your target audience to co-create the communication to make sure that you always keep their needs in mind.
Thank you so much. Rafaela, do you have an insight of the days you were here?
Apart from speaking slower, of course.
Yeah, that's the biggest insight
overall. I really do think that would be, when somebody does speak slowly and clearly, it gives you so much more room to operate and to deliver a more polished sentence, and it's just better all round. You can actually see people wearing the headphones, they relax ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Because that's when you know that you're getting things across properly.
Yeah. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to summarize the whole conference in one word. But I'll let you think about it, because my biggest insight is that how important it is to have in-person conferences. Because that we were here, that we could meet each other from all over the world, 21 countries, that made a difference. I got inspired, I learned new lessons, but it's also good to see people. And here, you kiss everybody. How good is that? We're allowed to do that. How good is that? But that's not my insight. But to have an in-person conference, how important it is to keep doing that. So I think with playing, we will keep doing that. Mm. And now, in one word, who wants to start?
I can start. My one word would be radical.
Radical. That's a beautiful word.
I would say it has been empowering.
Challenging.
Oh, I was going to say that. Sorry, okay, I'll go for the second one. Exhilarating, because when you're at that level of work, it's a real rush.
Yeah.
So I did find it exhilarating.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I wish you all the best, and I probably will be back with another podcast or webinar on the Plane website. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.